Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn back with me as we're continuing in our series this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles. If this is your first time here and you're a guest, we're going through a series, and this is the fourth in this series, on receiving God's extraordinary blessings. You know, it's amazing how many people live their life believing that God doesn't want them to have very much at all. So they just go through their life, and they say, well, you know, God will just give me whatever he wants, and, you know, if I just barely make it through life, then I just trust that's what he has in store for me. Well, there's only one problem with that. You can't find that in the Word of God. You can't find that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there is one prayer that is prayed in this particular book, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and the prayer is prayed by a very simple man. He prays this simple prayer, and then he is off the scenes of Scripture, and you never find him anymore. But yet the Bible makes a very powerful declaration about this simple prayer that he prayed. It's called the prayer of Jabez. Some call it the prayer of Jabez. And he prayed this prayer, and at the end of this prayer, the Bible just simply records that God granted his request. Now, let me ask you a question as you're turning to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And verses 9 and 10, when your life has been lived and you get to the end of your life, will you look back at your life and say, well, you know, my life was a life of abundance because I learned to pray and ask God, I trusted God, and I believed God, and there's so many things that happened in my life that never would have happened had I asked or had I prayed? Or will you look back at your life and say, well, you know what? It was the most difficult life going through, barely made it through life, had the scraps and the crumbs, and I guess that's all that God intended for my life. Well, there's a serious problem with that line of thinking. That's not a bit scriptural. You can't say that because it's not in the Word of God. Whenever you look in the Word of God, God, listen, the Bible is oriented to God, but he's a God who loves you and me unconditionally. As a matter of fact, all throughout the Bible, he reminds you and me what he wants to give if we'll learn to ask. And the title of this series, Receiving God's Extraordinary Blessings, because he is an extraordinary God. Now, he doesn't exist for you and me. We were created for the Lord God. But every loving parent loves to be good to their children. And so whenever you look back at your life, will you be able to look back at your life with a sense that, you know, these things came into my life because I learned to believe God, I learned to ask God, and he did incredible things in my life. Well, if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We've read these same two verses, but they're significant, and they're a challenge for you to pray them. I can promise you this. If you pray this prayer, get on your knees before God and pray this prayer, you will be amazed at what God does in your life. I can promise you. I challenge you for the next 30 days to get on your knees, pray this prayer unto the Lord God. Now, you say, well, if it's selfish, what'll he do? Well, he'll deal with those things, but I guarantee you he'll acclimate and orient your life unto what he has in store. And let's look at this prayer again. The Bible says in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted that which he requested. Do you believe that God has created you and he wants to bless you? Do you really believe that the God who created you has in store for your personal life his abundance and his blessings? When you look at this prayer, it's very sobering, it's very simple, and it's so candid and to the point that it does something when you look at it. And whenever you look at this prayer, you know, you just stop and realize, well, now, wait a minute. I've never been oriented to that. I always thought that this is how I was supposed to approach the Christian life. I always thought that if God wanted to give me something, he would just give it to me out of heaven. I'd leave that up to him. Well, that's not scriptural. That's not what God declares and teaches in his word. And this morning, we're going to look at the particular phrase, enlarge my coast. Because Jabez, as he prayed this prayer, and you listen, if you could peek in and listen to him, he's on his knees before God, and he says, "Oh, Lord God, that you would bless me." And the word bless, you remember, carries with it, "Lord, supernaturally favor me." Now, you say, well, that is arrogant. Listen, Jabez is praying this prayer because he wants to make the Lord God known. In a world of pagan and a world of idolatry and a world of massive gods, Jabez prayed this simple prayer because he wanted to orient the people around him to the living, true, and sovereign God. And as Jabez prayed this prayer, he said, "Lord God, I pray that you would supernaturally favor me." Because that's what the word blessing really means. It means the supernatural favor of God. Now, we say, "God bless this and bless that and bless the other," and we've lost the real meaning of the word. But Jabez is not praying this casually or by happenstance. He is serious before the Lord God. And he not only prays, "Lord, bless me," but he prays something very, very significant that is significant to your life and my life. And in the very next phrase, he prays such a simple and profound truth, but it's almost shocking when you listen to it. He says, "Lord God, the Lord God of heaven, the Lord God who made everything that is and everything that ever will be, Lord God Almighty, I ask you to enlarge my coast." Now, sometimes you say, well, now, wait just a minute. Are we supposed to pray for self? Well, if you'll get your outline out and follow along with me, because you and I need to be oriented to genuine biblical asking. You know, why in the world would a man by the name of Jabez pray a very simple prayer that included, "Enlarge my coast"? Hadn't God already blessed Jabez? And he had. Hadn't God already done some wonderful things in the life of Jabez? And he had. But God had laid upon the heart of Jabez this reality: "Jabez, I have created you never to settle. I have created you never to settle." Now, I want to ask you, before we get into the principles, what in life are you doing when it comes to praying this prayer, or are you settling when it comes to life? When it comes to the real things of life. And you see, in the life of Jabez, Israel was at this point. Joshua had divided the land into different categories and given it to the different tribes, and Jabez was a part of those tribes. And as they were dividing it up, Jabez, it just brought to the heart of Jabez, "I was born for more than this." Now, I want you to stop and think about your daily routine and your daily life for a moment. You get up, you do certain things, and you go certain places, and you get involved in certain things, and then you go back home, and then you wind down, and you go to bed, and you start it all over again. Do you want to do what you did last week, the week before, for the rest of your life? Would you like for your life to make an impact before a holy God? Would you like for the God of heaven to open your life in such a way that you can make an impact to more numbers of people than you could ever dream because he has saved you and redeemed you? One of the realities that God brought into the heart of Jabez was this reality: God has not saved me to settle. God has not saved me just to barely make it through life. Now, I'm not talking about financial riches, though God can do it and God does do it. But Jabez learned this simple prayer, and you know, on the surface, it sounds like a selfish statement, and yet there's something sobering whenever you look at this prayer. You know, it's this simple reality. God has placed in your heart, if you're a child of God, he's created in you a yearning and a desire to count for him. How many of you, now don't you dare raise your hand on this one, how many of you are satisfied with the number of people that you've impacted for God, and if you never impact anybody else for God, you're satisfied? Surely no hand would go up. You know why? Because there's something deep in our heart that God has created us. He has not created us to settle. And there are some things that he wants to do in and through your life. But here's the reality. You can't do it if you try to do it yourself. And Jabez looked around him and he thought, surely there is more that God has in store for me than what I'm enjoying or what I'm involved in right now. Surely there is more. And the reality is this simple principle. God has created you to yearn for more borders and for enlarged borders. You see, in a world that we live in, here's what a lot of people say. Well, I can't do any more than what I'm doing. But now let me ask you a question. How much of what you're doing really counts for eternity? Let's suppose your daily life stood today before the presence of God. How much of that would simply go by the wayside because it's not mattering for time and for eternity and impacting others' lives? You see, in the life of Jabez, it's just a very simple prayer. And the very meaning of the word enlarge, when I looked it up, it got exciting. Because whenever you look up the word large, it literally means, Lord God, would you increase, or would you bring abundance, or would you excel, or would you heap up, or would you grow up, would you enlarge my coast? You see, here's the reality of why so many of us do not have any more than what we've got in every strata of life. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. What verse am I getting ready to tell you? You have not because you ask not. Reverse it around. Benny, I have not because I ask not. Listen, when you learn the power of asking the Father, when you learn the power of getting on your knees, you see, Jabez was not oriented to a society that knew to get on their knees before holy God. He was oriented to a society, and there was much pagan religion, much pagan worship. But Jabez, God brought him to realize, listen, Jabez, I yearn to do more in your life, but the issue is, will you be oriented to me? Had someone who came to me not too long ago, and in his particular business, he was called in by one that was in management. And the one that was in management said, could you give me the secret to your success? I've been watching your life, and I see you're doing excellent. How is it that you're excelling? And the answer from this person is just simply this. I just ask God. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that if you ask God to enlarge your coast, he'd do it? You see, here's what we feel. I've got to jump through a lot of hoops. I've got to make a whole lot of promises to God, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that, or I've got to quit this, or I've got to throw this out. Listen, Scripture makes it very clear. Jabez, listen, there's one simple prayer that is recorded out of the life of Jabez, and he is gone from the scenes. And the Bible says God granted or gave him that which he requested. And you see, the reality in the life of Jabez was he asked God. Sadly, in time and eternity, here's the reality. God will reveal the reason in your life why you don't have any more than what you do. How many of you, don't you dare answer this out loud, how many of you would say, I'm struggling right now, I can barely keep my head above water, I don't have 2 nickels rubbed together, when was the last time you got on your knees before God? When was the last time you just simply got on your knees and said, Lord God, I'm going to believe you, I'm going to trust you? And you see, what happens is this. There are 3 things that shut down the blessings of God. When a person doesn't pray, can you be a Christian and never pray? Absolutely. You can be saved and never be oriented to God. You can be saved and never really talk to the Father. And heard of a lady one time, she was in a little marriage crisis, and she went to her pastor and was talking to him. And he said, ma'am, do you mind if we just have prayer? She said, oh, pastor, do you think it's got that bad? That's really the way we approach things. When things get bad, we go to prayer. Jabez didn't wait on that. He got on his knees before God, and he said, Lord God, I believe you want to enlarge my coast. I believe that you're a God of love. Now, let me ask you a question. If God would give the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ, don't you think that an enlarged coast would be just a small thing before a holy God? He'll give his son's blood for you. He'll give his son's life for you. And here's what we struggle to believe. Well, God, I'm just not worthy. It's not an issue of worthiness. It's not an issue of how good you are. It's not an issue of any of that. It's an issue of the grandeur and the grace and the mightiness of a God who loves you just the way you are. And you see, we struggle for that. And I can tell you, I struggle for a long time. I get on my knees and the devil would throw these darts through my mind. Well, Well, why would he want to do for you? Because you know you've done this and that and the other and so forth. And so one is just lack of prayer. Another thing, you know, we're so oriented to self. Now, listen to me very carefully. You can pray this prayer, Lord, enlarge my coast. And maybe you're saying, oh, I want to pray. I want God to bring in the money in my life because I want this and I want this and I want this and I want this and I want this. Let me ask you a question, and it's a given. Are you selfish? Yes, we all are. I wanted my team to win last night. You wanted your team to win last night if you watched a ball game. I didn't say half in the middle. I said, you know, we need to switch and root for this other team. You didn't do that because we're selfish. But listen to me very carefully. Will God orient you to that? Yes, he will. And Jabez learned this simple reality. When I bring myself simple as I am, humble as I am before a holy God, he will do some things in my life that even human reasoning and the greatest of minds cannot comprehend. As a matter of fact, he said, Lord, I just ask you to bless me. I ask you to enlarge my coast. Now, what were the coast that was Jabez was referring to? Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully because this is just simple reality in his life. In Jabez's life, property was significant. Property meant something, not to something, but it had something to do with the significance and passing it on to children and children's children. And literally, he said, Lord God, I ask you to enlarge. And the Bible says God did it. He didn't make a list of promises to God. He didn't say, Lord, I'll throw this out, I'll throw this other out. But the Bible says that he believed God. Let me ask you a question. If you have never prayed this prayer, and we're in the fourth in the series, and you've not gotten on your knees once, why not? If you've not prayed this prayer, Lord God, enlarge my coast, why have you not prayed it? I want to tell you why you've not prayed it. One, you're just not interested. You're like so many, you're glad to settle. Because there's something about you like to just, well, God, you know, you just like to be a martyr before God. Well, God don't want me to have anymore. That is a sin against holy God. Second of all, you don't believe him. It is amazing how many people are saved by the grace of God and just don't believe. And unbelief shuts down the activity of God. Unbelief closes the doors. You can bow your head and pray this prayer till you're blue in the face, but nothing will ever happen until you start believing. Say, Lord, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to watch. One of the things I've started praying in my prayer life, I said, Father, I ask you this, I ask you this, and I'm going to start watching to see how you do it. You know why I pray that? So I can remind myself, so I'd be oriented. And you see, in the life of Jabez, you know, he's not created you to settle. When you live this life and it's over and God rewards you, will you be delighted or will you be ashamed? I didn't try to make a difference. I didn't even volunteer at church. I let everybody else carry the load. I let everybody else do everything. I didn't do a single solitary thing. And I wanted the blessings of God, but I just wanted the blessings of God for myself. That wasn't the heart of Jabez. Jabez wanted his life to matter. And the Bible records better than 4,000 years, one prayer out of one man's life is written in Scripture because he made it his business to pray this prayer. Listen, the Bible says that he prayed. Now think about it. There are two or three things that Jabez had to come to understand before he prayed this prayer. He had to understand that God loved him. You know, think about it a minute. Jabez would have never voiced this prayer if he didn't believe God loved him. Could that be why you don't pray? Could it be the reason you don't pray is you just feel like God's going to heap judgment upon you? As I shared in one of the earlier messages, you have lived under such a cloud of guilt. All you think preachers are doing is to preach sin and judgment and sin and judgment. And sadly, in so many cases, that's all that is preached. And that is a travesty to the grace of God and to the word of the living God. Because when you get in this book, you find a God who loves you. You find a God who is in love with you. You find a God who, listen, think about it for just a minute. Use your good God-given mind. If he'll give his son for you, don't you think he wants the best for you? Why are you settling? And you see, if you don't believe God loves you, you'll never ask for anything. Listen, sometimes when you pray, you ought to get to the point where you almost get scared. Lord, I pray you bless us abundantly. And I'll leave that to you, whatever the blessings are. Bless us abundantly. You know, another thing, he had to have a deep belief and a trust in the mightiness of God. You know what the sad reality about it is in so many individuals' life? Their idea of God is someone who's weak and wimpish. You know, we don't really need to bother God. He's some grandfather figure, you know, sitting on a throne, and he's got billions of people to take care of. Listen, you look at the majesty of God. You look at this world, and it reveals a powerful God. And there is ample power in the hand and the power of God. There's ample strength in God's hand to bless you if you're willing to believe and willing to pray. You see, in the life of Jabez, had he not believed, he wouldn't have prayed. Third, a deep belief that God wanted to give him. Now, this is going to get tight and it's going to get tense. But I want to tell you where some of you are in your Christian life. Won't you listen? I'm not going to pray because I've reached the conclusion God don't want me to have a single thing. So I guess I'm just going to scrape by the best I can and try to make a living, eke it out, because you've come to that mental belief in your life. That's sad, but so many believe that. So many believe, I'm not going to pray this prayer. I'm not even going to try to. I've been saved for a long time, and you don't know how hard I've had it. I've done some evaluating of some people that I know that have had it hard in life. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I've just done some evaluating, and I look back and I thought, number one, were they oriented to get on their knees and talk to God? The answer is no. People that I love, but did they get on their knees? Second of all, did they believe God? And I just have to be honest with you. I love them. I look at their life, and some of them are gone from the scenes now. Some of them are friends, and some of them I've known but they didn't. Well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Show me that in the Bible. Now, granted, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. But let me ask you something. Don't you think that your Father wants to prove to you how much He loves you? Sure He does. He wants to show you, just like any good dad wants to show their children how much they love them. And you see, you know, Jabez had watched and seen, and he believed, God, I believe you want to do that for me. Listen, let me share with you a story. Bruce Wilkinson shares this in his book, The Prayer of Jabez. But he was speaking to some young students, and he said, God has more in store for you than you could ever imagine. And he gave them a challenge. He said, why don't you charter a jet and go take an island over and take it over in the name of Jesus Christ? Charter a jet? Let me tell you what they did. They started believing that God could do that. And the next year, they started Operation Jabez. Within a year, they had better than 100 people signed up, chartered a jet, went to Trinidad, and took over that island for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they prayed a simple prayer, they believed in a holy God, and they asked God, and God came through for them. How much are you believing God for? The Bible says that Jesus walked through a city, and when he walked through that city, the Bible says he couldn't do anything because they didn't believe. Is your unbelief shutting down the activity of God in your life? Do you realize the power of unbelief? Unbelief will assign many people to hell. The Bible says Jesus Christ has already died for the world, amen? He wants everybody to be saved. Why will the majority be saved? Because of unbelief. Jabez believed, and he said, Lord God, enlarge my coast. For the last 3 to 4 weeks, I've been sharing with you one of the prayers that I've been praying, getting on my knees before God. I said, Lord God, I don't know where everyone is, but I know you do. And I pray with all of my heart, and I believe you're going to do it. Enlarge our coast. I've even said, Lord, if we have to go to 2 services, whatever we need to do, you do it so we can orient people to the God who loves them, to the God who cares, to a God who will give them eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's interesting, you know what I said? I've been praying that for the last 3 weeks, more seriously, more deliberately. God's been drawing. I prayed one time in prayer. I said, Lord, Maybe they just look at a sign. I don't know where people are, but I pray. Maybe they just look at the sign. You say, can you pray that? Yes, because you don't know how the Father's at work in lives. And had somebody who said the other day, he said, you know, I went by the church and I just decided to come by because I looked at your sign. What is your belief? Look at number two. God's enlarged territories are designed to bring him glory. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. You know, God has extraordinary blessings, but he's not wanting the blessings so that you can keep them to yourself. Here's our sad, selfish mentality. Oh, God, you bring me some money, I'll put it in my bank account, and I'll save it for a rainy day, and I won't give it to anybody. Well, James has something to say about that. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong at all with praying for God to enlarge your territory. You say, what does it mean? Does it mean asking God to enlarge my business? It can. You know, ask to enlarge where I'm working so that God will be honored, give me an opportunity to bear my witness? Absolutely. Well, what if it ends up in me being financially blessed? Is there anything wrong with that? There is nothing at all wrong with that. But never forget, God never blesses you to be stingy. God never blesses a church to be stingy. Amen? Amen? He never gives so that we can hoard. He never gives to you so you can hoard. He says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to watch you. And Jabez, God knew his heart. And you see, if Jabez probably were living in our day and time, his prayer might be something like this. Oh, Lord God, please expand my opportunity, my impact in such a way that I may make more influence for your glory. Now, you see, here's the sad reality in our life. You're saved by the grace of God, and you're going to go to heaven someday, and all that's going to matter is what you've done for God. Amen? Isn't it sad we don't live that way? Sometimes we live, the only thing that's going to matter is our paycheck. Because of how much we put back, and there's nothing wrong with having a savings. But you know what's going to happen to your money after you die? Read Proverbs and Psalms, and it'll tell you. Somebody else is going to get your money, and they're going to spend it and squander it. So surely they're not, I'm going to leave it in my will. The Bible says, you may save, but someone will come behind you and take that which was yours. You see, since God didn't save you and take you to heaven immediately, have you thought, what's my purpose on earth? Now think about it. Why aren't you in heaven right now? Because he's left you on this earth for a reason. He's left you so you can make an impact. He's left you that you can bear witness and bring glory to him. And you see, in the life of Jabez, his territory, Jabez, how did your business grow, God? Listen, when somebody grows your business, the first thing you ought to say is, God, how in the world did, you've double, tripled, how did you, what's your secret? Tell us your, listen, the whole world is listening for a secret. What's your secret for, listen, when you orient people to God, you're reminding people there's a God who loves them. Sadly, there's a lot of people believe that there's a God, all he wants you to do is to be religious. Listen, the Bible says God loves you, and the reality is since he loves you, he wants to bless you. But are you blessable? If the Father looked at your life, are you blessable? Let me give you an example. Let's say God blesses your finances. Can he turn around and then watch you be faithful in what you do with that finances? Because your money is not really your money at all. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. You see, whatever there may be in this wallet, sometimes this poor, pitiful wallet, just like yours, but whatever there is, the Bible says the earth and the fullness of it belongs to him. Now listen carefully. If you and I are going to be oriented to God and experience the abundance of his blessings, then here's a reality. Father, you've not given me anything to hoard. You've not given me anything to be stingy with. I look and I see the happiest people in the world, the most joyful people in the world, the ones that have the greatest tranquility are those that have a spirit of giving, that joyful church, that happy church. And see, in the life of Jabez, you know, he just prayed one prayer, enlarge my coast. You know what we would say? Seven words, surely it don't make that much of a difference. As God is my witness and stands here and validates, knows the absolute truth, I have been absolutely excited what God's been doing in His fellowship and His church at Faith. Amen? And some of you say, well, I just thought I'd come. No, God's brought you. The Father's brought you. You say, well, how do you know that? Because you're not here by accident. God's brought you. And even on this particular day, God's brought you. Well, you know, not only that, but look at number three. God's enlarged territories come through asking. I cannot overemphasize this, but listen to what it says. Enlarge my coast. You know, it's just a simple statement, but Lord, would you enlarge my coast? I challenge every teenager to get on their knees and start praying this prayer. Lord, bless me, enlarge my coast, keep your hand upon me. You say, Pastor, what's going to happen to my life? I can tell you this, the sky is not even the limit. Because here's what's happening. You're setting yourself up for a front row seat for the miracles of God. You say, well, what do you mean the miracles of God? You're going to be blessed in supernatural ways that your human mind cannot comprehend. The Father is going to do some things in your life. You say, why? Because He's your dad. Listen, don't dads like to do good things for their sons and their daughters? Absolutely. Then your Heavenly Father is going to do some awesome things for you. He's going to bring some things by your life. You say, how do you know that? Because He's your dad. He's your Father. He loves you. And you see, in the life of Jabez, he just simply realized, Father, I ask you. He probably got on his knees. He may have got flat down on his face. But he made it his business to ask. And you see, it's so simple. I stopped and thought this morning, I'm not saved because I go to church. When I was 8 years old, I asked. I invited Jesus Christ. There's not a one of you that's saved that didn't ask. Every good thing of God comes through asking. Now, you don't ask for the breath you breathe because that's a given. God gives that to you because you're just a living creation of His. But He says He'll bring many things by your life, but it comes through asking. And I can share with you, different people have shared with me, one person specifically said, since I've started praying the prayer of Jabez, I can't tell you what God has done in my life. One lady shared that my business has just skyrocketed. I can be a blessing to my church. She said, I'm even helping, you know, with a pastor, helping him out. Another person said, outside of the prayer of salvation, the prayer of Jabez has been the single greatest prayer that I've ever prayed in my life. And it's opened the door for the wonders of God. Will God do that for you? Absolutely. You know, the problem is you look at yourself and I look at myself. Well, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. It's not an issue of deserving. It's an issue of the love of God. Let me give you an example. Dads, how many times have you given things to your son and daughter? Honey, you deserve this. I just want to give it to you. No, you give them things just because you love them. Many times it's never an issue of deserving. You're just going to give them. You want to give them. That's the nature of our Father. And you see, you think about this. Had Jabez remained quiet, now watch this very carefully. I can promise you, listen, take me at my word. I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God, you get on your knees for the next 30 days and you pray this prayer and you will come to me and you'll say, here's what God's doing in my life. I read a wonderful comment this morning from someone who was writing a comment on Facebook. They said, I can't believe God is doing some wonderful things in my life. And they're just sharing how God had so moved and touched and worked in their life. Because of asking. Now think about this. If God will not save apart from salvation, listen. If God won't save you apart from salvation, and every person is consigned to hell that doesn't ask Jesus Christ into their life, right? If you don't ask, you're not saved. God never saves automatically. He never looks at this person, that person, I'm going to save. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now think about this. If you don't ask, you will live your life bankrupt. Now I want to give some of you a warning. Some of you are going to live the rest of your life bankrupt because you think that's just too simple to do. How many of us, and don't you raise your hand, how many of us, when you prayed that simple prayer inviting Jesus into your life, you thought, surely it's not this simple. But it was that simple. I remember as a little boy bowing about right there in the church where I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Wow. Listen, that was the depth of my theology at that time. But you know what? That's the best word. And if you don't ask, you say, what do you mean, Pastor? Just get alone with God. Get on your knees. Lord God, I just ask you right now to bless me. Enlarge my coast. Keep your hand upon me. Keep me from evil, that I would never bring grief to your name. You get up, pray seriously, make sure sin's confessed, and then you watch what the Father will do. Listen, the Bible says this, everyone that asks, you know the next word? Receives. Everyone that asks receives. And then lastly, there's no way I can finish explaining the last one, but here's the simple reality. God moves heaven and earth to bring about enlarged coast for that person who prays specifically and humbly. So how do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says God is the same for all generations. Jabez was not different than you or not different than me. He was a simple man, a humble man, and the Bible says that he prayed a simple prayer. And God in heaven looked at that simple man, and he did exactly as he requested. Now, is God doing what you're requesting? Well, you say, I'm not requesting anything. Then you're receiving the answer to your not praying.